Hello and welcome to the Butts Nuts podcast, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth. Oh, Scott, how are you going?
If you're not getting it past the label on the first sip, you're doing it wrong.
If you're not getting it past the entire oak, if you're just not sipping 600 mils in one shot. We were about to start the podcast, and then I said to Scott, hey, you want cordial? And he was like, yep. Are you nutting? What's going
Continue,
on?
Continue, just keep going.
Like,
just keep going.
He was like, yeah, bro, I want cordial. So I went inside to see if we had any cordial. We didn't. Made me a little bit upset. And I did a proposition. I said, hey, Scott, you want me to be 10 minutes, go up to the shop and get some cordial? Or we get two ice cold waters. He obviously said ice cold water. So I drove to the shop, picked up Scott an epic oak chocolate milk, not sponsored. Oh. And I thought I'd go a little bit different. I got a nice Doritos Mexican cola.
Yeah, a bit of Doritos.
And whilst I was at the shop, there were these two little shits. I haven't told you this. There were these two little shits.
Tell me about it.
And they kept doing this thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, firework. And then they'd squeal really loud. Like in the IGA. And they just squeal. And there was a bunch of people in there. And they just kept squealing. And my ears were like going numb. And I was getting really pissed off. Anyway, we're in the line and I had my Dorito and oak chocolate milk, not sponsored, as I was waiting for to get served. There was a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
And then they kept doing this fucking thing in the line where they were squealing. And then this old bloke just turned around and said, could you fucking stop it? The kids just like went like all still.
Yeah, and nice. Just a serve.
That main lady at the IGA who always serves us, she's just like, oh. Good on you. And we were just like, yeah, this guy's the man.
He deserves a beer.
And I kind of regret now, as I was in the car, you know, you get like a shower thought. Like, oh, like when I could have been,
you
what I could have
the
said.
One to do that.
No, I couldn't have been the one. He was definitely the one. Yeah. But I could have been his lieutenant and said something like, yeah, I fucking agree. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like something like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm on his side.
You could have been sucking up to it a little bit.
Just yeah, because like, of my age, they could have thought, oh, yeah, nah, he's their older brother.
Yeah.
He knows the shit. He's with them. I really should have made it more clear that I was on the old man's side.
Yeah, okay. Because you felt like, because you're a, yeah, that's right, you're a young man, you're a young sporting
young
man.
Young sporting lad.
Guilty by association. Yeah.
So I should have said, boy, I fucking agree.
I agree.
Shut the fuck up. Like, that would have been class.
No, don't worry, you're an old soul in a young body, so it doesn't matter. You already give off, like, old school aura.
Yeah, no, that is true.
You do, yeah.
I'm an old soul. I've had a vasectomy. I have 6 children,
no,
8 grandchildren.
16. You have 16 children.
Don't want to talk about the other 10.
Yeah.
You know. Strange. You know we don't talk about the other 10. It's funny, we can make these jokes at the moment whilst I'm 19, but if I was to make these jokes at like the age of 32, people would be like, well, he's really popped out a lot of kids at the age of 32.
Yeah, he's had a big... well, you know, they could still say the same thing. I mean, you've had some mileage on you.
I know, well, you got to cash in the jokes whilst you can.
You can, yeah, you do.
Well, how the bloody hell are we, mate?
I'm actually fantastic. You know, since we watched this movie last night, movie reveal, Hereditary. We watched Hereditary. I have been incredibly excited to do this podcast, purely because this is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Yeah.
We've spoken about Hereditary in the past when we did Midsommar.
Yes, go check out our Midsommar
episode. Yeah, go check it out.
Episode 29.
I actually think it is like quite early.
It was early.
It's early in the piece.
So this is our second. It's Ari Aster, right? It's not Ari. Or is it Ari Aster?
I feel like it's Ari.
This is our second
Ari Aster. We're saying Ari. We're going to be saying Ari.
It's our second Ari Aster film.
Yeah.
So now we've done 2/3 of all these films.
Yeah.
Bo was afraid. We'll get to
it. I'm a little afraid of Bo.
Yeah. We'll talk about that last week.
We were talking about that last week. But yeah, so we have come to the golden apple sort of thing of his filmography. It was his first breakout. Well, obviously he's done short films and things like that before and probably worked on other movies, but his first full independent release.
Directorial debut.
That's right, yes. And my God, does it smash it out of the park.
Ooh, it smashes. It smashes real hard.
Yeah.
Smashes the head against a wall while someone's trapped in the attic.
Yeah, smashes random glassware against a smashes random glass cabinets.
Yeah, smashes the nose against forces. A classroom desk.
There's a lot of smashing.
There's a lot of smashing,
but not the right kind of smashing. There's none of that smashing.
There is none of that smashing.
Yeah,
and I've subtracted 7 nugs because of that.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. Yeah, because there's always a deductible if a movie doesn't have hardcore pounding sex in it for you.
That's true.
You're the man. You're like, you know, I can't get through another hour of this movie unless I see some Willy Wang going into some quim.
Rough sex.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me the synopsis.
I will give you the synopsis. Man, I am just... Oh, this quickly before we do get into it, this movie has got me energized. It's got me fired up.
It's got you
ready to go.
Got you by the gonads.
Tight. By the gonads.
Real tight.
It's just like a little squeezer, man.
Wow.
Okay, let me give it to you. After her mother passes away, Annie and the rest of her family are grief-stricken. Yes. Soon, strange things start occurring and the horrifying truth about Annie's ancestry begins to come to light. Ooh. Spooky.
I'm scared.
You're shaking in your baby seal leather boots.
I'll say it right now. This movie did get me scared. You know, I'm not going to be that guy who's going to say I didn't get scared with horror movies.
Okay, we should clarify something before we get into it. I've seen this movie about 4 times. Ben, this is his watch debut.
It's my directorial debut.
So you're directing yourself into the firing line of the fear right now.
And I was scared as fuck. Wait,
was there a little bit of poo running down your leg by the end of the movie? I just need to know that.
Well, you know I've been having arsehole issues lately, and I do constantly have poo in my bum.
Yeah.
But, yes, there was a bit of poo running down my leg.
Very good, because that's what you want on your first watch, especially watching this. Because the first time I watched this movie, I was hungover as shit, and I was in a massive room with a group of random people, and a bunch of people from school as well. And it was just a strange vibe watching it. And it scared the shit out of me. And I was watching it in broad daylight. Now, if a movie can do that to you while you're watching it in the daytime, it's a special kind of movie. Special kind of horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. I think the whole time, because it's just those long, lingering shots.
Mm.
But also, there's not really any jump scares in this movie. And I went into this movie thinking that there would be.
No. Yeah. And well, yes.
Even though I had seen Midsommar, I thought that this movie was going to be like more intense, which it is.
Mm.
I'd say Midsommar
tenfold.
More,
yeah.
Midsommar's visually more intense.
Yeah.
But this is mentally more intense.
I think it's... I kind of agree. I know where you're coming from.
You know where I'm coming from.
I know exactly where you're coming from. But visually intense... Yeah... In some aspects, I get you
more
because
fucked visually.
It's more fucked visually. Ugh.
Whereas it's not good to compare. It's the last bit we'll compare the two.
Look, I feel like in comparison, like there is a lot more. I don't even know how to describe it. Like there's more like dream like stuff in Midsommar. I feel it's more like trippy, scary. Whereas this is more like. Eerie, spiritual, scary, and it's a little bit more dark sort of thing.
Like, I felt nauseous the whole time watching this movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't get that with Midsommar. I felt like watching going, ugh.
I've got a specific scene that we will get to, but I'm not going to talk about yet because I want to deep dive into some shit. That did make me feel quite nauseous. And I was going back to it after we watched it yesterday, and you were saying that you felt nauseous. And I went, yeah. This specific scene, it's the same with Joan.
Oh, yeah, she's scary.
She's fucked. Anyway, I think we need to get into the technical stuff first, and then we'll get into the lore.
All right, yeah, that sounds good,
Because the technical stuff, it speaks for itself. You know, it's just absolutely stunning. The shots, those wide...
Oh.
I had a bit of a research and they used some, I don't know what type of camera it was, but it had like an adjustable lens where it would like move up and down.
I thought it was an iPhone 14 they used.
Oh yeah, actually.
I think
it was an iPhone 14. Yeah.
iPhone 14 wasn't out obviously in 2018, but they obviously talked to Tim Cook and said, hey cunt, give me a bit of, give you the cheeky stuff.
Come on.
And I think that's where half the budget went into was the iPhone 14, because you can tell with a lot of those shots.
You know what? I think you're onto something.
I know I'm onto something.
You are. It was an adjustable camera.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of camera it was, but they figured out a way to kind of like angle it down so everything looked like miniatures.
Mm.
And it's just like, especially like the beginning scene where it's zooming into the miniature house and it becomes the house, becomes Peter's room.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
The use of miniatures in this movie was really good. Like, sometimes you didn't even know if it was a miniature or not. I know a lot of those wide shots of the house were actually of miniatures, right?
No, they weren't. That's the thing. That's the camera.
You didn't know if it was miniatures or not. It's just, wow.
You don't know. That's incredible. Well, and the thing is, like, it tricks your eye because the miniatures are so detailed. Like, Annie's works are so fucking detailed, man. They're actually, like, fantastic artworks.
Yeah,
I would love to see an exhibition of that. I was like, wow, yeah, this is sick.
What's one of your favorite shots?
Ooh, it's hard because there is a lot of really, really good ones, but I love the scene where it's kind of coming up to the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dark night shot of the house and it goes to daytime.
Oh, yes.
Like it flicks like straight away. And I didn't know this until I went back and watched some video essays and stuff. The cult members are all standing around the house in the night shot.
You didn't see that?
I didn't see that.
And it's the other way around, by the way. It's daytime and it flicks to night. And then you see all the dudes standing around the house.
Oh, it is too. Yeah. No, you're correct.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You never saw all the cult members?
No, like, oh, yeah.
Mate, it was my first time watching. I picked that shit up. Come on, mate. Four times. Are you even watching it? Too busy on Subway Surfers, mate.
Oh, yeah. You know me. I'm just trying to run away from the fat controller.
Oh, yeah. Maybe playing a bit of Jetpack Joyride. Hitting the slot machines.
You cannot. That's where my gambling addiction started. Jetpack Joyride. Oh, my God. I love Jetpack Joyride.
Yeah.
What about Naked Blonde Man?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's probably your favorite shot.
No, it wasn't my favorite
run
shot.
Run me through some shots that you were absolutely taken aback by.
All right. Yeah. All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, shoot me up.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Shoot me up.
Yeah, let's go shoot up right now. I'll tell you right now. When Annie is going back to Joan's house for the last time, all right?
Yeah.
And she's all panicked and she's running down the, like, little corridor.
Yeah.
It starts off upside down.
How the fuck did they do that?
And then turns around. And then next thing you know, she's just knocking on the door. And then it pans into Joan's house. And you see all the weird inscriptions on the table and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. Because you just found out that Joan was actually friends with her mother.
Yeah.
At that point, right?
And yeah, that was the... Obviously, she'd gone through the...
All the photo albums.
Yeah, she went through the photo albums and things like that. Yeah.
That was crazy, man.
I
really liked that shot.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, how did they figure that out to do that whole spin thing upside down? Like, it boggles my mind.
I mean, a lot of the times where they're just walking.
Yeah.
Really put me on edge because it, it'd be either a tracking shot. Ooh, bump the mic.
No,
it'd be a tracking shot or a stagnant one of just like the hallway at the start. There is one where in the background, Peter and Annie are like appearing and then Steve's walking down the hallway and Annie comes back, like just shit like that. But it's so long and drawn out and doesn't cut. So you can always see little things in the background. It just puts you off, even though, Peter's not going to do a jump scare or Annie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Annie, not at the start at least.
Yeah.
But you're like, well, something just doesn't seem right here. It put you off.
Completely
felt
agree.
Wrong the whole time.
Yeah, it makes you feel nauseous. It makes you feel sick.
Yeah.
And that's another really cool thing you just mentioned there. The little details in the background, all the little clues that it adds to the massive climax of the end of the movie.
Mm.
It's just, like the cult members are always at the house. They're always there.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed
from the very beginning. It's crazy.
I noticed them watching the whole time.
Yeah.
We paused the movie at one point because we had visitors. Doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Blake Jackson. Anyway, and then you're like, "Hey, dude, did you see the point where Peter was smoking his bong at the start?"
Yeah,
and it pans out, and then you see breath come across the screen. I was like, "Yeah, come on, bro.
Yeah, you're not an amateur."
Yeah,
yeah, that sort of stuff. Oh man, just The foreshadowing sort of events, especially at the very, very beginning, is what just makes the build-up of this movie so satisfactory. Another really good scene is when the bird hits the window and Charlie's in class and basically doesn't react at all, and all the other kids get startled because, you know, Charlie's King Payman is a demon.
Yeah.
And goes down, chops the head off, and puts it on the toy body because, you know, King Payman needs a male host sort of thing and not the female body.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking cool how that foreshadows that. And it looks back to the end of the movie when it's Charlie's head on the giant totem statue thing.
Yes.
It's like it's mirroring that.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So cool, man.
Why didn't they just put King Payman in Peter when he was born?
It's a very, very good question. But because...
Is that because she was separated?
Well...
From the grandma?
King Payman wasn't... I don't think he was summoned yet. He wasn't summoned. So they tried to do it throughout the family. There's a family history of like trying to do it. Like Queen Lee, she's the cult leader, right?
Yeah.
And
that's the grandma, right?
Yeah, and yeah, literally just having a family purely because she wants to put the summon King Payman to come back and provide the cult with riches and goodwill and whatever Joan says in the last scene. She says like a full line.
Yeah, they probably have mad like devil orgies and shit as well.
Oh, they do. Yeah, for sure. Like they're fingering each other in pentagrams and shit. It's just...
Smashing.
It's full on.
Smashing.
Smashing.
Smashing. Smashing.
But yeah, wait, I lost my train of thought there.
Sorry, I brought up devil orgies and I could see the thought just escape your mind.
it just got sucked out of me.
I said, why didn't they put it into Peter
straight away? Yes. Well, obviously, they hadn't figured out how to summon him, summon King Payman yet properly into Peter's body. The ritual mustn't have worked or something like that. But it worked when Charlie came through and Peter wasn't emotionally ready yet to have King Payman possess him because he... The thing is with this evil spirit, the host, it says in the book that the host has to be vulnerable enough for the king to come in and fully take over.
But also, I think Annie said at one point that she had separated herself from her mother when Peter was born, right? So that's probably why.
Yeah.
I'm answering my own question here.
That's probably why
they couldn't get to Peter straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when Charlie came around, obviously the grandma came around.
Yeah, because...
Family sort of came back together in a weird way.
Mm.
And then they did it to Charlie instead, of course, because I guess Charlie was vulnerable, but because Charlie's a chick,
but didn't work. You know, you realize that Charlie isn't a character the whole time as well.
No.
Like, Charlie's literally just Payman.
Payman, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's crazy.
Well, then the next thing I want to bring up...
Yeah.
...is how did, like, obviously the cult's watching.
Yes.
The whole time, from the start.
The whole time,
yeah. And you, I guess, obviously by the fourth rewatch here, okay, we get it, man. Yeah. It's your favorite horror movie. We all got things, shit going on. But you pick up clues that they're watching the whole time.
Mm.
But the fact that they planned for Charlie's death... It's like, I mean, I get it. No, it does make sense.
Yeah.
But how'd they know that she was going to stick her head out the window, man?
Well, it's a spiritual destiny. It's like a spiritual destiny, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is, I can't remember where I heard or read this. It was a comment by Ari in like a Reddit post or something like that. And he was kind of saying how like, you know, they were always doomed from the very beginning.
Yes.
Because they were born into this destiny, this family, because... Queen Ellen is basically made them just to do the ritual.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the whole thing of like, you know, the telegraph pole with the symbol inscription on it.
Yes, which when I was... Okay.
Like that would have tripped you out,
I watched one explanation video. No, when I first saw it, I knew what it meant.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, this has got to do with the grandma. Obviously, she's in a group.
Yeah.
I was more leaning towards, I wonder if they're like witches or some weird shit, but they're not. They're,
yeah.
They're cult members.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sick. I like that.
It's, oh man, it's freaky. It's freaky, man. It's, yeah.
But yeah.
Cult stuff like this really, like, I don't know, scratches an itch for me. Like, it's so scary, but like, it's like, oh, I kind of just want to learn more.
And the fact because that...
It's so weird, you know?
King Paimon's a real thing, right? Like, I mean, this is the first I've heard of King Paimon.
Yes. Apparently, I think, like, he came about in 14th century. There's first records of King Paimon in, like, literature sort of thing. And he's, like, one of the... I think he's... Like, they say in this movie, one of the eight kings of hell.
Yeah.
But there's actually nine kings of hell. There was a YouTube video that I was watching... I'll have to find it and remember the name of it. But basically, it was saying, like, you know, the eight kings of hell, you know, and they're always looking towards, like, a different part of the compass when they're summoning a different king of hell. So it's like, you know, King Paimon summoned from the northwest.
Oh.
So he's, like, looking after that sort of thing. I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch, but
yeah,
it's there's, like, so many things that point to it. And
so then where's the ninth king? They're in the middle.
Must be in the middle. Must be in the middle. Or doesn't exist in this universe.
The Prime Meridian.
Yeah.
Well, but the Greenwich Meridian.
Yes, yes.
The equator.
The equator. Yes. Okay, I want to ask, let's get into some character discussion here. Oh, man, Steve. Let's talk about Steve.
Oh, yeah. Poor Steve.
Bro.
Oh. I mean, Steve didn't deserve anything. You know, a lot of the time when you watch horror movies,
yeah,
people make stupid decisions and you're like, fuck you, I want you to die.
Yeah.
In this, I felt so bad when Steve died. I mean, Annie did as well. She didn't want him to die.
No, she didn't
gonna
want him to die.
She's going to sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
But Steve was literally like, oh, we should call the cops. There's someone in the roof dead.
He's the voice of reason.
He's like, oh, yeah. No, we shouldn't do the seance. This is bad. Like, this shit like that, where he kept talking sense, and poor dude gets burnt alive. Like, fuck me, man.
Yeah,
did nothing wrong. He was so good the whole time.
That's
He was so nice to Peter when Peter was losing his mind. Apparently he's a psychiatrist or something, so...
Oh, I reckon that's where him and Annie met. I reckon that's how they linked up, and then they separated from the mother.
Like, linked in.
Yeah, they, like, linked up and, you know, had Peter, and then got back to see the grandmother, obviously, when Charlie was born. But I reckon that's how they had their little thing, because she's always been unstable, Annie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve is, like, her rock.
Yeah.
He's such a G. Voice of reason, wanting to call the cops... Because, duh, there's a fucking dead body in the attic. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about people who didn't deserve shit, let's talk about Peter. Because Peter didn't deserve anything that happened to him.
Oh, man.
Bro just wanted... Peter. He wanted three things. He wanted to hang out with his mates.
Yeah.
He wanted to rip some fat bongs. And he wanted some pussy. I mean, bro did nothing wrong the
whole
time. He's
just chilling. He just wants to chill out and be a normal dude. But nah, his sister has to go and eat nut cake.
Yeah,
that sounded a bit weird. Peanut cake.
Nut cake?
Nut cake.
All right, pal.
Cake with nuts in it.
You got to slow down.
Cake with nuts in it.
Pal,
I just want to clarify.
You got to slow down.
Were they putting walnuts in that cake?
Mate,
I think it was.
Don't try and backpedal here and start talking about the ingredients. You gotta slow down.
I need some chocolate myself,
mate. You gotta slow down.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not annoyed at Annie for allowing.
I am.
I'm not annoyed at Annie for allowing Charlie to go to the party because, I mean, it's a stupid move.
It's a stupid move.
You know what? I am annoyed. Stupid.
No, yeah, because I understand where she's coming from, but it's the wrong environment for a much, like, younger girl to go to, like, an older drinking high school party.
I mean,
it's not the right vibe. You know, she's like what, 11 or something?
13, but 13. Also
still, yeah,
he did tell her that it was a school event.
Yeah, and he said the no drinking thing and everything like that. So that's actually a blunder on Peter's side. He didn't really think that through. He should have just like
still
said,
weird to say, oh, well, get your sister to come along. But I guess because she thought it was a school event, she thought there'd be people her age there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like a thing, you know, she's like, oh, well, if it's a school event, then take your sister to prove it sort of thing.
Because they're always bickering.
And, oh, man, it's so interesting. That's true. It goes back to, you know, Peter never really trusts Annie ever.
No.
And it's all because of that story that she tells in group therapy when she basically puts flammable paint thinner on all the kids and herself and lights a match while sleepwalking into their room when they were little.
Which isn't that fucked. Like, we've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
All been there doing that sort of, those rambunctious actions.
Like, you remember that time that, like, you woke up and I was holding your legs and you were about to go into a wood chipper. And I was like, sorry, bro. And I fell asleep.
Honest mistake.
Like, it's an honest mistake.
I understand that. Like, you know, sometimes you're having some crazy dreams and it just takes over your body.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's just because I wasn't sleeping and I did it on purpose doesn't mean I meant it.
Well, what about that time when I dragged you out of your bed and laid you out in front of a road and there was a just an 8-ton truck speeding down the road? I'm like, oh, sorry, bro, my bad. Woke you up. We got off, but
yeah,
lost
shit
the bed.
Happens. Get over it. God. People are ridiculous these days, mate. It's too soft this generation, I bet. Woke America, I tell you what. You can't say anything these days. Anyway, poor Peter.
Poor Peter.
And
Peter.
He also lost a bunch of social credit by doing that shit in class.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Which one in class?
Well,
all of them.
Him when he was all mopey and sad because he's not getting sleep and having weird dream sequences and not knowing what's real and what's fake.
I think he was a really realistic interpretation of grief.
Mm.
Like, it was, you don't often see that in movies, eh? Where you see a character fully shut down.
Yes.
Like, after he killed his sister and he just walks into the house and doesn't say a thing and just lies in his bed. Like, I feel like that just, there's something really grounded about that. It's because he's so traumatized, and he's such an introvert already, he doesn't know how to bring it out because he's always like pushing his emotions down, and now it's just like this massive rock inside him that he can't get out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The whole interpretation of grief in this movie is just spot on. I love it. I love how they broke down this whole thing. And we both did our little research and watched our cheeky little videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Watched an interview with Ari Aster. That's how we're saying it, right?
Ari.
And he said, before this is a horror movie, this is a drama. And I'm like, you're goddamn right, mate. This is a drama.
It is a family drama.
Yeah. And I think the dinner scene clearly proves that. I mean, everyone is top-notch acting in this. Toni Collette should have won an Oscar.
She is incredible. You know, she did that in only a couple of takes. She literally came into the set and Ari just said, oh, just do what you have to do. They did minimal rehearsals. Or even like no rehearsals, I think, for some scenes. And stuff like that, the screaming scene. And she just did it in a couple of takes.
I've heard stories. Crazy. I will get to it, but these actors went pretty far, some of them.
Yeah.
Especially Alex Wolff, who plays Peter. He went pretty far for some of the shit.
Did you hear about the table thing?
Yeah, we'll get to the table thing. Okay, that's one of my... Oh, wipe my nose. Gross on camera.
One of your trivia points?
It's one of my cheeky trivia points.
Good.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. But the
acting is superb from everyone. From, you know,
it's very, yeah.
The guy who plays Charlie. The Duke who plays Charlie. That was honestly a slip of the tongue. Anyway. Keep it in.
All right.
It wasn't even. Anyway, whatever.
Okay, let's get to a massive character in this movie. And I don't, not the scariest character.
We're talking about the blonde dude. With his
little tiny penis.
Little chode.
His little tiny, little blonde penis.
Yeah, mate, I saw you looking down there.
Yeah, mate, you saw me looking down there.
Wide-eyed and happy as a Larry.
The second scariest character. Just want to point that out. The second. Joan. Joan's the second scariest character. We'll get to the most frightening one we haven't even talked about properly yet. We have a little bit, but not properly. Joan, you manipulative bitch. You fucking bitch. Peter, get out! Can you imagine just having some milk and wedges and you're sitting out on a beautiful sunny day and everyone is just completely oblivious to this screaming woman across the road speaking to you through this fence?
Yeah, how did no one
saying else your name? Like, and you're just crazy. Like, who is this lady? Why does she know me? And why am I sweating so much?
Yeah, he was a real sweaty boy.
He was a sweaty boy. I understand that, though. Like, dude's going through some shit.
I know, but it's also going to make him lose more social credit.
Yes. It's all about the social credit, man.
He just wanted to get with Bridget?
Yeah.
Bridget?
Yeah.
He just wanted to get with Bridget, bro.
She did not want to get with him after that table scene, I tell you that.
I don't think she wanted to get with him after...
Oh, no, she did. Sister. When he said, hey, I got some really good weed, she's like, boom. Let's get this later.
Yeah, and then he accidentally decapitated.
But then Charlie cock blocked him.
Yeah, what a fucking
idiot. Idiot.
That was so funny when she got decapitated. I'm sorry. It was hilarious. I did not expect it. First time watch, I was like, there's no way she's dead already.
No, yeah.
That was crazy.
You honestly think the first time watching this movie, you're like, oh, she's going to be like a crazy demon child throughout the whole thing.
I thought she was going to come, like, we're going to see her heaps. Especially with seeing the grandma at the start as a ghost.
Yeah.
Ooh. Which I need explanation on that.
Yeah.
I need explanation on that. Because why she was she already seeing it? Was that just in her head?
Sorry?
Was that just in her head, the apparition?
No. She was a real, like, spirit being conjured in her house. Now, the thing is, right?
The grandma be a spirit now.
We got to talk about how... She would be a... What's the logic behind it? Well, the grandma, Ellen, scariest character in the movie, I will point out, I think. The one that fucked me up the most.
Yeah.
She was already connected to Payman, right?
Mm.
She's already connected. So when she died, her spirit was already lingering and it's attached to Annie. That's why she can see her. Because Annie's already connected to Payman because she was already having those sleepwalk problems back when she was a child. And all the way into her adulthood. She's always been connected to Payman.
But we only see her once, though.
Yeah, but...
I would have liked to have seen more... Like, if they were going to go down that road, I would have liked to see more weird grandma shit.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Like, it's weird that there was such a... That grandma was such a big character. Like, she is.
Yeah.
Story-wise, but still we don't really see heaps of her.
Mm. Yeah, I understand that.
Because...
You would have preferred...
Why put her in as, like, a ghost... apparition at the start.
Yeah.
If we're only going to see it once. Like, I thought, oh, we're going to see some weird shit from her.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously it was Charlie, which I mean, I preferred it.
Yeah.
But, like, why did we have her at the start like that?
Yeah.
That I am a little confused about that. I'll be honest.
Okay, you know the flashes of light and stuff like that?
Yeah.
We saw an apparition of Ellen when Charlie was in her room alone and went out to the... To the field with the burning thing.
Triangle, yeah.
So that little flash of light was Ellen.
Mm.
But then the rest of the apparitions when Charlie dies is Payman.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you sort of see it. But yeah, obviously it would have been cool to have seen a couple of like pop-ups more.
Yeah, I just think cool. It's interesting that they just... That Ari decided to put the grandma in at the start.
Mm.
And sort of make you think, okay, like, it's a cool that...
Bit of a misdirection thing they're going
Yeah, I'm sure it's just good. Intentional.
Yeah.
But, you know, just from my first watch experience, don't hate me too much. I'm just, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, like, no, you're just trying to, like, figure it out as you're, like, talking about it. Sort of
yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, I sort of was like, well, if you got to put her at the start, maybe we'll have a bit more of her.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
Because she is technically the leader of the cult, or was, but now Joan is.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Joan took her place, right?
Technically, Joan is because she was second in command.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're correct. She's now leading the cult into resurrecting Payman, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, not resurrecting, I guess. Putting him in Peter's body.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's just get back to Joan for a quick second.
Oh, yeah. Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers. incredible acting by her, by the way. Just the manipulativeness of her character being so soft and heartwarming at the start.
Yeah.
And then gradually turning into her true colors is what really makes you go, fuck, I cannot trust anyone in this in this world. I mean, you can trust Steve, though. You can trust
Steve. You can trust Steve.
He's
Steve's the best.
Heart of gold. Love Steve. Man of the hour. Should have taken Peter out way earlier. Anyways, but Joan at the beginning and how she slowly approaches Annie and plants those little seeds. Oh, you know, gives her a sympathy story about her grandson that drowned in a pool. Did that really happen? Fucking probably not.
Well, the chalkboard that the grandson writes on, she's buying from the shop the day before.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
That's good. That's cheeky, good.
Isn't it? When she meets her at the shop, she's like, oh man, you know, come, you got to do a seance and shit. I didn't believe it. She's got a chalkboard in there.
That's, good pick, son.
Good pick from me, definitely.
Wow.
Not from YouTube.
Not from YouTube at all.
Yeah, that's cheeky, eh? That's good shit.
That is good cheek. That's good shit. Oh, man, that's like, that's preem cheek right there. Robot Gunners! Wow, that gets me real revved up, that one.
I'm still thinking how we said rough sex and both cheered at the start. That was a little weird. Yeah, drink your chocolate
I'll drink
milk.
To that.
You know what? I'm going to drink a nice Doritos.
Have
Mexican
a Doritos.
Colo. Colo?
Yeah.
Cola to that.
Have a Colo.
Oh, that's delicious. I would have that every day of the week.
Wow, beautiful.
We're not sponsored, mate. We don't make money.
What's hungry thirsty? It's a state of weak indecision. No, I'm not going to just read that. I won't do that. But Oak's the best chocolate milk of all time.
Well, here's another thing. Because Charlie only got summoned after the seance. So then how was Annie seeing the grandma?
Hold on. I wasn't listening. Repeat everything you just said.
Well, Charlie slash Payman only is able to start doing haunted crazy shit after the seance, right?
Yes.
Unless I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Wait, hold on. Repeat everything you said. I wasn't listening.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I've just had a sip of the most delectable chocolate milk of all time.
Chocolate milk? What chocolate milk? Is that a brand? What brand?
Oak.
Oh my god. I love Oak.
Name dropped. Oak is so good.
If Oak sponsor us, doesn't please. Sponsor us after this podcast, I'm going...
I'll be so sad.
I'm
going to
get a piano cord and cut my head off.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Huh? That's good. Hey, that's good. That's good. We'll get to that.
I'm not joking though.
That's crazy. Was that a piano cord? See, I always thought it was weird because I always thought it was a knife at the start, but it is actually a cord.
I think it's a piano cord.
It's a string. It's a string. It's a piano string.
I think she was playing B sharp. It's no joke there. It's just the first note that came to my head.
Yeah.
All right. So they summoned Charlie.
Yeah.
After the seance, correct? Well, Payman.
They did.
Payman Charlie.
Yes.
Only started haunting them after the seance.
Yes. Just bear in mind, though, that Annie has always been connected to Payman, right? Throughout her life, in a little way.
So that's how she saw Grandma at the start.
Yes, yes. It's like it's
okay,
all...
Okay, that's
it's
what
all,
I was asking.
It's all
that's
through Payman, right? It's all through Payman.
Right, okay.
But what happens to make them all get connected is because they're all holding hands and they invite the demon into their household. The thing
right.
is... They can't be haunted unless they're invited in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, the whole ritual thing, you know, has to let them out of their, you know, hell shackles sort of thing.
Yeah.
So to speak.
And that only happens because of Joan manipulating Annie.
Exactly. Remember what she says. When you go home, try it. You have to be touching your family's hands.
Yeah.
If fucking Steve just walked away at that point and just went, screw this, man. I'm going to stay in a hotel. A motel with...
Don't put this on Steve.
Don't put this on Steve.
Dare put this on Steve.
No, but I'm just saying, man, like, he has a heart of gold, so he stuck around to support his wife because she was grieving.
Yeah.
But, man, I feel sorry for him in another world. Steve should have just walked away.
Poor dude got burnt alive and was one of the coolest shots of the whole movie.
Yeah, that is a really good shot.
Oh, no, it's a good shot, eh?
Frightening. Absolutely frightening.
I was always good he got burnt. We wouldn't have had that shot.
Yeah. Oh, shocking shots. Shocking shots. Let's talk about some shocking shots.
Okay.
Or do we want to keep talking about the whole
hand-holding? Let's talk about some shocking shots.
Please.
All right. Tequila's a good shots. One. Where he's got his Sorry, hand up in the joke, classroom, and it looks like he's having a stroke, and they start smacking his face. Peter, that's a shocking shot.
Probably the most shocking shot out of the entire movie.
Yeah, I know. It looks like he's just gone down to ones. Like Beverly Hills and got a bunch of Botox in his top lip.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how he did that face.
No, very, very well acted.
Yeah, insane. Insane, bro.
The ants. Hallucination.
Ants. That was a shocking shot.
That was a shocking shot. We have to talk about the big head. What, the head hitting the pole.
Oh, yes. Decapitation. That was great.
And the aftermath, the shot of her head with all the ants eating her alive and a tongue sticking out and a whole mouth just all mangled.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Shocking shot.
Shocking shot. Claret everywhere.
What about when Peter gets his head grabbed?
Ugh.
That's a shocking shot.
Ugh. That makes you sick. That makes me sick.
That was his vision, right?
Yeah.
His dream. Because that was intercutting between Annie's visions and Peter's
different
vision.
Different one. So the ants and the flame one were the intercutting into whatever, however the fuck you say.
Yeah, intercutting, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the ones that were cutting in between, but the hand one and the same, it's the same scene, Charlie's head in the corner, falling off her body.
Shocking shot.
That's part of just Peter's hallucination.
Whoa.
In bed.
Whoa. Crazy.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah. They say not to drink fizzy drink before a podcast.
Right? Or dairy products.
That's what we're doing.
What about when Peter wakes up after Steve's been killed?
Yeah.
And Annie's on the wall? We haven't even talked about that, bro.
Oh, that's fucked, man.
You can attest to this. I was freaking this fuck out.
Yeah, you were like this the whole time. You're like, oh.
I was watching it full, though. I didn't cover my... But I was... Look, man.
Oh, yeah, but you were like down here, like going, ooh.
I haven't been scared like from that. A movie in a long time like that.
I haven't seen you that revved up in ages.
Because the whole there was like... There was no jump scares, so the whole time it felt like it was building to one.
Yeah.
Which made it even more scary.
Yeah.
Because it's the music, the silence, the visuals, where every little turn, I'm like, something's happening. Something's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, and it makes you more scared.
Yeah.
Because you never get the relief of a jump scare where you're like, oh, okay. I got like...
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going for 2 hours, bro.
It's constant anxiety the entire time.
Got to that point, and I'm like, I have got to my scare level up to here.
Yeah.
It is exploding right now, and I can see Annie on the wall. This is not good. And it was just silent. There was no sound. Him walking around the house.
Uh-huh.
I was freaking the fuck out, bro.
Yeah. But about her, like, crawling along the wall as well.
That was hilarious.
Oh.
Shocking shot.
Shocking shot.
Shocking shot.
We have to talk about... The head smashing scene on the you've already mentioned it.
Oh yeah,
on the
shocking
upside
shot.
Of the attic wall, well door. Man, you think she's just knocking at first.
Yeah, and then it cuts to her just doing
boom, boom, boom.
That was shocking shot.
I wonder how Toni Collette's neck was after that.
I don't know if that was real. Surely that was CGI.
No, I don't reckon.
You don't reckon?
I reckon it was like inverted perspective. They shot it a certain way, built the set or something, and they just had her like on the ground doing that. Maybe sped it up a little bit or something. I don't reckon that was CGI. I think that was a trick of the camera. A lot of this is trick of the camera.
Very tricky.
I reckon it would save a lot of money, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have any stats on the money this movie made?
I can pull them up for you.
Because it was right very now. Successful when it came out. Like, it was all the rage. Everyone was talking about Hereditary.
That is true. Hereditary budget box office.
Mm.
Okay, on a budget of $10 million, it grossed $44.1 million in the US and Canada, and an extra 38 in other countries for a total of $82
million. Wow, we were.
So, big return of 72 mil. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Cheeky. Cheeky indeed.
Mm, yeah.
10 million. That makes a lot of sense.
That's very good.
It's cheaper than Greenland. By yeah. $20 million.
That's mental.
Yeah, it is.
See, the thing is, when you focus on character more than, you know, shocking visuals.
Yeah.
It's it pays off. It pays off. And that's, you know, that's the thing that carries this movie is just you feel so connected to the characters, you really can put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every single one, you can kind of relate to them a little bit.
100%.
Even Joan. Like, you can relate to her, especially at the beginning when she's like open arms being a nice lady.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
You go, oh, okay, all right, I'll let her in. I'll let her into my heartstrings.
Yeah, I'll pull her in.
She pulls them and she tears them out.
All right, last shocking shot, end scene. Crazy.
Wow.
We got Charlie's head on the thing, that beautiful song.
Oh, which
now
yeah.
I understand because I've heard that sound heaps on like memes and shit, but I never knew where it was from.
I've got some trivia for you too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Hit me now.
Well.
Actually, no. Yeah, hit me now.
Yeah, I'll hit you now. I'll just hit you now. And it's about the end scene and the music specifically. So I was trying to think about it the whole time. I'm like, wow, this is kind of like synthy orchestral stuff, right?
Mm.
Or just mixed really interestingly. There's like the shimmering bells. There's like the trumpets that are sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not strings. It's more like trumpets and bells and cymbals and things.
Yeah.
Apparently, The old lore is that King Paimon is followed by like an orchestra of trumpets and bells and cymbals and things like that in like folklore and stuff. So this is where it's coming in, you know? That's why you hear like the twinkly sounds and everything all the time. And
there you go.
Yeah. So that's why the music is what it is. Ari's a genius.
I like it it's when so a movie cool. and everything's intentional. It's not just like, oh yeah, we'll put, I don't know, Tupac California Love in.
Mm, yeah.
Because it's a static shot.
Imagine if that finished, that's how the movie... California Love.
That would be great. You know what? That is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't filmed in... I think it was filmed
R.I.P. Tupac. Is it filmed they in should Montana have resurrected him from the dead.
This was filmed where?
Man.
Montana or Utah? Where are we going?
It's Utah. It's right. filmed in Utah.
You tell me.
I will tell you, and it's definitely filmed in Utah.
Wow,
what about the scenery? Oh,
good scenery.
That's the sort of place. It gave... I didn't realize how European America can look sometimes.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
America's like one of the most diverse countries.
Yeah, so many biomes, man.
Yeah, you seen that geographic fucking shit?
Yeah, bro. I've seen some geographic fucking shit.
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
I don't really have much else to say.
I'll have a squiz because I feel like I do still I have questions, some things.
But like...
I've got some quotes, I think.
Yeah.
A note on Ellen. The most frightening character in the movie. We don't fucking see her alive. What the fuck? Yeah, I already mentioned that. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've covered everything.
Let me give you a quote. What was it? You know the little symbols that were written by the cult in the house? Like the Zaza?
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that.
They wrote Zaza.
Like, obviously, I didn't get what it meant. Like, yeah.
So they're all like, I don't know.
Bro's on that Zaza.
He's on that Zaza. Yeah.
Bro, that's
that why Zaza. That's why Peter had the best weed, because the cult gave him the Zaza.
Yo.
Yeah, yo.
Be fresh out there as well. Pretty fresh. You just know that weed's hitting hard.
Oh,
there.
Man, you know, it's like that Utah weed.
Yeah, you tell me.
Jeez. Very good.
Thank you. Thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you.
All the little symbols and things meant different things. And apparently one of them, life pandemonium, means open to the gates of hell or something like that, along those lines.
Yeah.
And that was confirmed by Ari in a Reddit post as well. And that was written onto a wall somewhere.
r/hereditary.
Which is pretty cool.
There you go.
Another quote from Ari himself. He said he wanted to create emotional terrorism with this movie. And I think he successfully did it.
Yeah.
Because we're emotionally terrorized.
Yeah, you bombed me pretty hard.
Yep. He did bomb me pretty hard.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, well, I feel like we've kind of gotten into the nitty gritty here. It's
We've dived straight into that.
Like, there's naked people, demons are coming, let's get our cocks out. It's the gore, actually, I'll talk about that a little bit as well.
Oh, yeah.
Used sparingly and only when it was needed.
Oh, yeah, when Annie's possessed.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
Very, very frightening scene. The two corpses, Annie and Ellen, both kneeling.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
There was three generations of women that died in this movie, too.
Mm.
That's nuts.
It's a sexist dream.
Sexist dream, yeah. Yeah. Another lore moment as well. The image of Paimon in the book, he has three heads hanging off his belt.
Mm.
Annie, Charlie, and Ellen all died.
Oh, yo.
Dude, like, this thing is filled with cool stuff.
That's sick.
It's just, it's mental. It's proper mental.
Apparently, he had, like, the whole thing planned out in his head 2 years in advance. Like, all the shots and stuff.
Did he serious?
Yeah, it's what Toni Collette said. Wow. She said he's the most, like, prepared director she's ever worked with.
That's amazing.
It was all in his head. And he's like, yeah, man, I just fucking know that. Yeah, I mean, because it's his first one. He's probably been stewing on it for ages.
Oh, don't even worry about it. Well, they say that a lot about, in comparison to, like, bands and stuff when they have their debut album.
Mm.
They stew on the songs for so long.
Yeah.
And then they have to follow it up with something real quick after.
Yeah. And he followed up with mid-song, I'll tell you what, mate.
It's pretty bloody good.
I only got Beau Was Afraid to watch now.
Mm, which didn't get good reviews.
Didn't it?
Don't think so.
I thought it got good reviews, but it didn't go well. Let's have a look. I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes people, but you know what?
Yeah.
Today we're having a look at it.
Let's have a look at it.
68 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm going to have some milk.
And 6.7 on IMDb.
So average. Kind of average.
Yeah. What about the box office?
That's about Greenland level.
Oh, yeah. It only made $11 million.
What, how expensive was it?
I don't know. Let's have a look. That's sad. Ooh. I don't know. I want him to do well, man.
Yeah.
Still. I like him. Oh. You're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
On a budget of $35
million. Ouch. That's enough to set him back to not do another movie.
Yeah. Look, that's very sad.
Mm.
Especially with Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. All right, shall we get into some real shit? Some trivia? Trivia time.
Let's do it. How long have we been going for?
I don't know. How long?
It's coming up to our longest podcast yet. I think it's about 53 minutes.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, no. Which one is this?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right.
That was good.
In an interview, Alex Wolff explains that he wanted to actually break his own nose for the scene where his character slams his head into the desk.
Yeah.
Director Ari Aster respectfully declined that offer and told Wolff they'd give him a soft cushion desk for the scene.
Yeah.
When it was time for the scene to be shot, Wolff slams his head into the desk only to discover that the top was foam and the bottom was hard. He dislocated his jaw for the scene.
Whoa. He dislocated his jaw.
He dislocated his jaw for the scene. According to IMDb.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Damn. Fucked. I knew that. I knew about the desk thing with the foam and the hard bit underneath it. But wow, that's crazy. Apparently cut up his leg as well.
For what?
When he flew back off the desk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently he had bleeding all down his leg or something.
Jesus. Yeah. Apparently he also needed therapy after this movie.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so
we'll have to
see what he's like. That therapy bit I saw on YouTube, so I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate, but
yeah,
that's what I saw. Last bit, in the art store parking lot scene, oh damn, I already got rid I already revealed this. The chalkboard is shown.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's
no, but yeah.
And it's still shown in its packaging in Joan's car. Okay, I said it was in Joan's hand. It's in her car.
Because
you can see the boot. Showing that she had just purchased it the day prior before showing Annie the seance. So,
Joan, Joan, Joan.
Oh, naughty.
Naughty hey, Joan. Joan. Wait, what?
Hey, Joan. Instead of
hey, Joan.
It's all right. Fuck you. Letterbox time?
Yeah.
All right.
Boxby.
Maria says, if you ever find yourself constipated, watch this movie. 100% agree. I 100% agree.
It'll fix it.
4 stars from her.
Very nice.
Wes says, I'm filing a restraining order against people who don't think this is scary because I'm 98% sure they've killed someone and washed their hair with dish soap. 4.5 stars.
Oh, that's very accurate.
That is true.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, Wes.
Without a doubt.
James says, really boring names.
Yeah, man. Where's the variety here?
After watching this film, I think I can say Michael Jackson's question and... Oh, I fucked that hard, eh?
Really restart. Hard. Rewind. Bring it back.
All right. James, after watching this film, I think I can answer Michael Jackson's question and say without a doubt that no, Annie is not okay. 4.5 stars.
She's not okay.
Annie, are you okay? No, she yeah. is not.
Toni Collette. The acting goat of this movie.
MVP, 100%.
Just, she doesn't get enough credit for most of her roles.
No, not at all.
She's such a good actor.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
My rating, throw it out there right now. 9 out of 10 nugs, boom.
Oh.
Just like that.
Very nice. I'll do you one better. 9.5 nugs. Out really of 10.
Thought you were going to say 10, mate. For a favorite horror movie ever. You know, you don't have to be shy.
Yep. Not too bad.
You're sticking with that?
I'm sticking with that.
Allegedly.
It's a 9.5.
Allegedly.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Butts to Nuts.